Timothy chapter number 4, and this week it worked out this way. I was praying about some of the messages that I had been working on, and what had been on my heart was to just finish out the book of Revelations. I haven't preached through the whole book, but these last chapters, but I felt led to finish out the book of Revelations in the Sunday morning hours, and preach the last few verses of chapter 20 and then chapter 21 and 22 in the mornings. So wasn't thinking about that this week is John and Romans week, and we'll be giving out the gospel all week. And then next Sunday morning, God willing, if the Lord leads that way, I plan to preach on the Great White Throne Judgment. And so I want to encourage you to pray. I don't often announce what I'm going to preach ahead of time, and that could change. You know, the Lord could do something different, but what has been on my heart this week is let's give out the Word of God. Let's invite people to come. Let's pray for next Sunday. And if it's the Lord's will and we all live and Jesus doesn't come next Sunday, I want to preach on the Great White Throne Judgment. Let's pray so folks get saved. Amen. And so if that's how the Lord wants it, that's what is in my heart. But God may change. It may go a different direction, but I don't think so. I think that's probably what will happen. And then on Sunday nights, I'm just going to preach whatever direction the Lord lays on the heart. So having said that, 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want to stand and read one verse of Scripture and pray. And I don't know that I have ever preached an entire message on Demas. And it was just a couple weeks ago that the Lord gave me this thought here. And I want to preach tonight on Demas the deserter. And I want to just look at Demas a few minutes tonight and give you the thought that God has given us. 2 Timothy chapter 4, notice with me in verse number 10. Paul said, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." Father, I pray tonight in Jesus' name that you would help us from the Word of God. I pray you'd speak to us and speak through us. I ask, Lord, tonight that you would be pleased with everything that'll be said and done. May we not say or do anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you'd guide our tongue and set a watch before our lips tonight and open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things in thy law. Help us to receive with meekness the engrafted word. And I pray, God, tonight that we'd see no man save Jesus only. I ask, Lord, tonight that you would be honored, that you'd be glorified, that your son would be magnified, and may the church be edified tonight. Help every heart, save sinners. We do pray tonight that you'd reclaim the backslid, encourage those that may be discouraged, and we ask that you would strengthen the weary tonight. And Father, we'll love you and we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you do, for we ask in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to preach tonight on Demas. As I mentioned, I don't know that I've ever preached an entire message on this character here that Paul is mentioning, this individual, but I just felt led to go in that direction tonight. And I want to say something about the Apostle Paul just before we deal with Demas tonight. This is a great chapter. There's been great preaching and many sermons, I'm sure, that you've heard down through the years from 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And we know that Paul, this is the final chapter of Paul's life, and Paul is about to make the crossing. He's about to leave this world, and he's about to go to the next world. But when you read this chapter, there's no sadness in the life of Paul, for Paul himself said, "I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." He said, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course, and I've kept the faith." And he said, "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." And so it's easy to see that when Paul is getting ready to make the crossing here, that Paul is looking behind him, and he sees some things behind him as he looks back. And then Paul is looking before him. He's thinking about those that are running the race before him, those that maybe have left him, and those that have served under Paul. But then Paul is looking beyond him. He is thinking about the world that is soon to come into view. Amen. And I want to say, as we look behind us and we look before us and we look beyond us tonight, we have to say with the Apostle Paul, "Even so," or the Apostle John, "even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." Amen. But it's interesting in chapter 4 that Paul begins to list names here. And amongst these names, he lists those that helped him in the ministry, and he lists those that
hindered him in the ministry. And I would say tonight that every one of us are either going to be an asset to the ministry, an asset to the man of God, an asset to the church, or we're going to be a liability. And I do not want to be a liability to the church. Amen. I don't want to be a hindrance in your life. I want to be a help by the grace of God. And so Paul is mentioning the others. And he mentions this man here by the name of Demas. Now, when I think about Demas tonight, here's what comes to my mind. Demas is a mystery to me. And what I mean by that is that there's so little said about this individual, amen, that he's somewhat a mystery to him. There's a lot of things that we don't know about him. We really don't know who he was altogether and where he lived. We don't know all that why he left Paul. Paul gives us the fundamental reason as to why he left, but we do not know the details. Demas is somewhat a mystery. I don't know if you're this way, but sometimes when something is mentioned in the Bible and little is said about it, I just wonder, I just think about it, and there's just a desire to want to know more, amen? But God gives us enough to go on and to help us along the way. So Demas is a mystery to me. And then I would say tonight that Demas is a memory to me. And what I mean by that is when I think about Demas, though I never met him personally, and when I think about the ministry and I think about serving God, I would say to you that Demas is a memory to me because he brings to my mind others that fit this character. Amen? You see, we've all met Demases in our life. We've all met people that deserted the church and deserted the man of God and deserted the house of God in a critical hour, in a critical time. We've all had Demases in our life. Amen? You see, if you're a pastor, if you're an individual, if you're a preacher, you know what it is. You've met a Demas. You say, Brother Gravely, I'm not a pastor and I'm not a preacher. Maybe not, but in the service of God, if you look down through your life and you look at the times that you have walked with God, you think about those that you thought you would serve God with the rest of your life. They was an encouragement. They was a help. God was using them in the ministry, but they're no longer amongst us tonight. Demas is a mystery. Demas is a memory to me. And then Demas is a message to me tonight. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean that when I read verse number 10, I want to consider myself, lest I also be tempted. You see, when I think about Demas, he was not a wicked man. He loved God. And Demas loved his preacher, and Demas loved the ministry, and Demas loved the church. He is mentioned on two different occasions. Once in the book of Colossians, he is given an honorable mention there. He's given another honorable mention in the book of Philemon, verse number 24. Demas was very involved in the local church. He was very involved in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. We're not preaching about somebody tonight that was just half in and half out, but this was somebody that at some point in his Christian life, he was all the way in so much that Paul thought it honorable to mention him when it came to the ministry. I'm telling you tonight, every one of us ought to take careful inventory as to where we are spiritually. Amen? I'm talking about from the pulpit to the last pew. We ought to take inventory to our life. And I'll tell you, I know people tonight, and you know people tonight that are no longer in the ministry. But I don't want to focus on them people tonight. I want to take a good look at myself and consider that if it not for the grace of God, and if we don't stay in the Word of God and stay on our knees, guess what? We'll end up just like them. Amen. It doesn't matter how many years you've been preaching, it doesn't matter how much Bible you know, it doesn't matter how long you've been serving God, it doesn't matter how on fire for God you may be tonight, friend. Tomorrow could be a different story in all of our life. Amen. I had a man one time in this church who is no longer in church. We were on visitation, and he made a critical statement about somebody that didn't come on visitation. When he made that statement, I didn't rebuke the man, but I said to him, I said, brother, don't think that way about him. He said, why not? I said, this is your second week on visitation. And I said, and visitation is not to come and take inventory of others. There's a lot of reasons people don't come on Saturday visitation. And I said, just focus on your own ministry. And there was no problem. He didn't get mad. In fact, I think if anything, I think that he took it to heart and changed his attitude. But the truth is, the very thing that he condemned that brother for doing on Saturday, which was not sin,
He did much worse than that. You see, it's easy to, sometimes to look at others that have fallen in the ranks. And I tell you, I think about people tonight that are no longer serving God, and it hurts to think about them, doesn't it? Church directories are wonderful to have as a prayer book, but I'm telling you, sometimes you just want to burn them, don't you, after about 2 years. That's why we change it every 2 years. I probably shouldn't be telling you this, but it's probably something you already know. But so many times going through a church directory, you're like, well, they're not here. They're not here. They left mad. Amen. They're talking about us. They're not here. You know what I'm talking about? And it happens, doesn't it? And I don't know why, but I keep those things. I don't go back to them often, just use the current one. But you go back through them. What I'm saying is, if we made one tomorrow, a year from now, somebody, I'm not talking about people that die, somebody wouldn't be in that bullet or that church directory. And it's a reminder to all of us that it's more easier to get out than it is to stay in. So we must always keep our guard up, isn't that right? When I come to Demas tonight, I want you to consider just a few thoughts about this man in this text. I'm talking about Demas the deserter tonight. Let me just stop and say this. I don't want to be hypercritical of other people is what I'm saying. When people fall and they fall out of church, we're to pray for them. And of course, when people leave, they say everything but the truth. You know that, don't you? They never tell about the times you helped them. They only talk about how much people hurt them. It's a cover up for their own sin and their own doing. We all know that. The truth of the matter is that the church is the best thing that ever happened to any of us, and God's people is the best thing that ever happened to all of us. And don't listen to people. Can I just stop and say this? And I'm trying to move on, and I'm going to move on. But don't listen to people that's always talking about other people. They'll poison your brain is what they'll do. Amen. And I'm telling you, they may seem like they're your best friend, but if they've got a tongue that'll roll out from here to the Arkansas line, you need to stay away from them. Can I get an amen right there? I'm talking about there's some people are very good at ducking and hiding and stirring stuff up and saying things and getting people's thoughts in the wrong direction, and then they tuck away, amen, and let somebody else take the penalty for everything that's been said. You need to watch them people, amen. You need to stay away from those kind of people. You pray for them, amen. But I'm telling you, I want to surround myself with people that will be an encouragement and will talk about things that will be a blessing, amen. I don't want to spend my days, amen, talking about people's faults and failures, and I'm going to tell you why, because I got enough of my own, amen. I don't want to point out people's wrongdoings. I may see them and I may know about them, but hey, I don't want you seeing mine and you don't want me seeing yours. And if you do see mine, I hope you'll show mercy, I hope you'll show grace, and I want to do the same to others, amen. Because outside the grace of God, none of us would ever make it in this life. Demas the deserter. Let me just mention these thoughts and be done. Number one, I want you to see Demas listed in verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me. Paul lists Demas in our text. And when you think about Demas as being listed, you say, well, he lists him so that Timothy would know that he was a deserter. Perhaps that is why that Paul listed. But perhaps it hurt the heart of the apostle Paul. Paul no doubt loved Demas and he cared for him. And Paul no doubt pondered the situation in Rome. And he gives this string of names here. But he puts Demas first at the list. And he listed him. And I want to say that Demas, when you consider his name in verse number 10, think about this. He is listed by a great believer. The apostle Paul had Demas on his mind, and in the most critical hour when Paul is about to face death, Paul is not thinking about himself, but he is thinking about this man that walked away from him. And what that reveals is the heart of a true man of God, that others may walk away and never think about him, but if he's a real man of God, he'll always care for those that he cared for in the ministry. Demas may not be present in the life of Paul physically, but he is present in the life of Paul in the scriptures here, meaning that Demas may have forgotten Paul, but Paul never forgot Demas. Amen. You know, I thank God as I look back through life, I thank God for pastors.
And I'm not saying that because I pastor this church. I'm just telling you, in my life, I thank God for the pastors that God has given me that prayed for me. Some of them, they may not even be what we are tonight, but I'm telling you, there's a great deal of gratitude in my heart for the prayers that they prayed for me, for the word of God that they preached to me, for the time they invested in my life that they didn't have to, but they invested in my life and they cared for me and they instructed us in the word of God. And there is a certain amount of loyalty that makes me not want to walk away from the ministry for those men that kept me on their heart and encouraged me and strengthened me. And we live in such a disloyal day, don't we? And I'm telling you, listen, you young people, listen to me. You owe something to your parents, amen? They've kept the lights on. They've kept a roof over your head. They bought groceries every week and they prayed over you and they brought you into this world and they protected you, and you owe your parents something tonight. You owe the church and you owe the man of God something tonight. I'm not talking about money and I'm not talking about preacher worship. I'm telling you tonight, there are people that really love you and they care for you and they pray for your soul, and it ought to mean something to all of us tonight. You know, there's people in this church, they're not preachers, but they pray for everybody in this church, and that ought to mean something to us tonight. And the fact that Paul listed him when he could have just, you know, bypassed him and never mentioned him, he's a deserter, it meant Paul loved him. He's listed by a great believer. He's listed in a great book. You think about this, Demas, the deserter, listed by the Apostle Paul, listed in the Word of God. I mean, listen, his name is in the Word of God three times. Now, this last time is not a good thing, but his name is in the Word of God. I'm talking about a man that got out of the ministry, was listed by a great believer, and he's listed in the greatest book that's ever been printed. You know, if you're thinking about getting away from God tonight, you ought to think about the great Christians God's let you be around. You ought to think about all the preaching God's let you sit under tonight. You think about, your name's not in the Word of God, but I tell you, you think about the church or churches that God's let you be a part of down through the years. I wouldn't want to walk away. I tell you, I love Brother. I know they're in heaven tonight, but I love Brother Sammy Allen. I love Brother Stennett Blue. I love Brother Berman Cape. I love Brother Milford Biddle. He's men of God. They preached to me and prayed for me. And they preached to you and they prayed for you tonight. And I think about those men, and my allegiance is to Christ first. But I tell you, I don't want to let those men down. Do you? I don't want to let those God. Let them think about Brother James Rowland and Brother Charles Roach, and some of them are not even preachers tonight. But I thank God for Sister Nine and Miss Mazel and Sister Batty tonight. And you may not know some of those. Some of you may not know some of them tonight. But you could name people in your life that God has used that's been of a great influence. I'm talking about they loved us and they cared for us, and tonight there ought to be some loyalty to the Lord, number one, to the church, number two, tonight. Demas is listed. Demas laboring. I think about verse 10. Demas hath forsaken me. Meaning that he had labored with Paul. Can you imagine working with the Apostle Paul in the ministry? Demas worked at the church. He served in the church of there at Colossae, and he's mentioned with Luke in Colossians chapter 4. He labored for a great cause. He labored on a great course, and he labored in a great climax. He left Paul at the most critical hour in Paul's life. He's not laboring with the young Apostle Paul. He's laboring with the aged Apostle Paul. He's laboring with the Apostle Paul that has experience. Amen. And when I think about Demas's labor, he was a man that was serving in the ministry. I'm telling you, if you're serving God tonight, you ought to thank God that he's given you a privilege just to serve him. Amen. Being in the ministry, serving in the church, it's an opportunity. You know, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to play these instruments. It's a privilege to sing in the choir. You know, I looked out there tonight. Some of y'all adults have quit singing in the choir. I don't know what that's about, but let's have a sign up for it. Brother Ladd, okay? All right? We need to sign up. Get back up in the choir. He said, well, it's full. We want it packed. There's a lot of young people. Yeah, but we need still got to have adults. Is that right? I just died with some of you when I said that, but I want to help. Our church needs you. We We need you to come to Sunday school. We need you to be in. Well, I just don't want to do that no more. Well, there's a lot of things in life we don't feel like doing, but we still have to go on and do them anyway because others are coming behind us. And you don't just pass the torch off so quickly. I understand age and things will slow us down in life, and there's certain things that we can't do. But don't be so quick to give something up. Don't be so quick to just throw in the towel. Remember that when it comes to serving God, if God gave you a voice, you need to use it. Amen. If God gave you a talent, you need to use it. Amen. If God gave you an open door here to do something and be involved, you need to use it. And it don't have to have a title. Amen. Don't you wish we could just get rid of every single title and it would just boil down to just serving God. Amen. Because at the end of the day, titles don't mean anything other than the fact they tell us what our responsibilities are in life. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, serving God has nothing to do with a title. It has nothing to do with recognition. It's an opportunity. It's a privilege to serve God. It's an epidemic in our churches tonight. Big epidemic. It used to be a time when people would knock each other down to just do anything for God. And now, I see it on mission boards. What it is, people sometimes are not willing to be that committed anymore. And Demas in our text, he's labored with the Apostle Paul, but he no longer is. You know, if you sit down, you may lay down. And I'm not talking about if you're not physically able. I'm talking about tonight that there's something for all of us to be doing for God. And we must be involved, not just, well, I've got this little thing I do on the side and that's wonderful. We must be involved in our local church. The local church is only going to be as strong as the people actively involved in it. Is that right tonight? Somebody has to pick the torch up. Somebody has to, and you don't have to be, like I said, given a big job title. If something needs to be done, then just it's an opportunity to just serve in the church. And it doesn't have to involve money. It doesn't have to involve recognition. I'm saying tonight, laboring for God keeps us in the right way. And Demas got in trouble when his labor began to waver. Amen. Don't let your service for God start wavering. Amen. Don't sit around and do nothing and start whittling on the stick and do less, right? I'll tell you what'll happen. You'll get yourself in real trouble spiritually. I just think tonight that how many people could be a blessing to the church if they just got more involved. Demas is listed. Demas is labeled. You know, this happens sometimes. Somebody quits doing something in church and they start slipping and you start moving. Before long, they're out that door. They're gone. When people want to start deserting the church, that's the first thing they do. They start giving up positions. A man was giving up a position one time, and I said, "You're not leaving us, are you?" He looked, he's shocked. He said, "Preacher, I wouldn't leave." 3 months he was gone. I knew what was going on. I could see the handwriting on the wall. You know where he's at tonight? Not in church. Drinking tonight? Living out in sin? He wasn't drinking at the time, I don't think. You see what I'm saying is it's important to be involved. Don't let others pull you out, even in church. Don't let somebody say, "Well, don't go up there and sing in the youth choir." No, you leave them high and dry. Yes, if they don't want to sing in that choir, you let it be, but you go. Is that right? Amen. That's for good for adults too. Don't let somebody pull you in so tight. Don't you be so loyal to anybody. I'm talking about, hey, right here, don't you be so loyal to anybody that it causes you to start stop doing something that you was doing for God before. I'm going to tell you something. I've seen that so many times in church. Somebody gets a friend. Somebody gets a buddy. And I think, oh, my goodness, they got the wrong friend. But what are you going to do? Amen. You're going to walk up to them and say, hey, you need to split from them. Sometimes I think about it. Amen. But you can't do that always as a pastor. I'm not going to tell you I hadn't ever done it, and I'm not going to tell you I won't do it again. Amen. But I'm telling you, sometimes it happens in a church, and guess what? Before you know it, they done quit doing stuff. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Evil communications corrupt good manners. I've watched people lose every ounce of their joy because they made friends with the wrong person. Demas laboring, Demas leaving. Here it is. Look at it. Paul said, "He hath forsaken me." A sad words in the Bible, isn't it? The phrase hath forsaken means to leave one in the lurch. to let one down, to desert, to abandon. The Lord, he used the same word to describe his feelings of utter abandonment on the cross in Matthew 27:46. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Paul didn't say he had forsaken Christ, although he had. Paul didn't say he had forsaken the church, although he had. Paul told Timothy, he said, he's forsaken me. In my most critical hour, in my most critical need, he's walked away. It proved to be a selfish spirit, a worldly spirit, a cowardly spirit that he had. Why? Because he left Paul for something that would not last, for something that would never love him back. I want to tell you, the world will never love you back. The world will never treat you right. You may leave the church and you may go out to the world and say, well, I've got big plans and big ambitions. I'm going to tell you, it'll strip you and rob you of everything you got. The world don't love you tonight. The world will just take and take and take and rob, and the world will leave you with nothing but scars and regrets, and the world will just chew you up and spit you out with nothing to show for it. It's what it'll do. This world will leave you empty tonight. This world is not our friend. And there are so many people tonight that they want to be half in the church and half in the world. And I'm going to tell you, take a good look at those people tonight, and you see if I'm not telling you the truth. Take a good look at them tonight. You know how they are in church? Miserable. They're miserable. You know who you see shouting in church? For the most part, it's people that have surrendered their all. Now, I know there's some counterfeits, but that's not the, well, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Amen. Hey, some people, I'm telling you, most people you see that sold out to Jesus are not miserable. But these people that they want to be half in the world, half in the church, that they're not getting what they need from either place. And so, and Demas, he forsakes Paul. I'm telling you tonight, it ought to put fear in my heart. It ought to put fear in all of us tonight. I don't want to leave the church. I don't want to get out. I don't want to be a has-been. I don't want to be a casualty. I don't want to have some excuse as to why I can do something else or go somewhere else, because at the end of the day, it won't hold water at the judgment seat. Amen. The bottom line is Demas left. It really doesn't matter. We see Demas listed laboring, leaving. But notice Demas is loving. Where did it all go wrong? Look what Paul said. Having loved this present world. Now Demas loved God. Demas loved Paul. He loved the church, as I mentioned, and he loved the ministry. He just didn't love it as much as he loved this world. I want to say tonight, I think it was A.W. Tozer that made this statement. He said, the only way to really keep from backsliding is to constantly pursue God. You know, when you get up in the morning and you read your Bible and pray, that is pursuing God. When you go to bed at night and you pillow your head and you pray, that's pursuing God. Going to church is wonderful, and I'm not going to say it's not pursuing God, but it's not enough is what I'm trying to say, that it's easy to blend in at church for all of us. It's easy to kick it in neutral. Any of us could do that, myself included. But what I want to say tonight is this, is that Demas, his love for this world was stronger than his love for Paul. In critical times is what proves that. And when the persecution came, it just simply revealed who Demas was. You know, tonight, that's what happens whenever persecution or when problems or things come into picture. There's some people, they'll float along for a while. But I'm telling you, when things begin to, the heat begins to get turned up, a lot of times you turn around and they're gone. It's a sad thing when people leave church, isn't it? You say, what do you do, preacher? We mourn over it, but we pick up and go on. That's all we can do, isn't that right? I'll tell you what we're not going to do. We're not going to quit, are we? Brother, we've seen people come through and they thought this church wouldn't make it if they left. But it's still floating, ain't it? Hey, we've seen people, somebody tell me one time, said, well, you know, I'm leaving the church because if I stay, this church is going to split. I said, well, let's just stay and let's see. I'm willing to take the gamble if you are. That's what I told them. You think I'm joking? I'm not. I said, stay, let's see. I'm willing to take the gamble if you are. No, listen. They already got their eyes on this world, what it was. Well, this church wasn't built on a personality. Can I get an amen right there? If I die tomorrow, y'all going to keep having church.
If Brother Laddie passes away tomorrow, we're going to keep having church. We don't want that to happen. Amen. But if we're gone tomorrow, this place, if God's in it, it ought to go on. Isn't that right? It ought to carry on if it's of God. If it fell apart, then it was gone a long time before then. I can tell you that much. But I'm telling you, I heard Brother J. Vernon McGee preach this afternoon. They played his last message after pastoring that church all of them years. He was preaching his last sermon on the radio this afternoon. Of course, he's been in heaven for years now, but they played that last sermon. I thought, man, I want to hear what his title's going to be. You know what he preached on to his congregation? The last sermon Brother Babby preached to him, here's a title: Remember Jesus. I'm going to tell you, I listened to that sermon and there wasn't anything said about J. Vernon McGee in that message, but there's a whole lot said about Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, when he closed a chapter on all those years of being a pastor of that church, he didn't want to leave anything with him about himself, but he took one more opportunity and appointed him to the one that would see him all the way to the end. I'm telling you, when we passed off the scene, when we've fallen by the wayside, I'm glad there's still one that'll walk with us every step of the mile. He'll not leave us. He'll not forsake us. He'll see us to the very end. Hallelujah. He said, I'll go with you always, even to the end of the world. And as I've heard preachers say down through the years, if he'll go that far with me, he'll go with me the rest of the way. Hallelujah. He'll never leave us tonight. And I think about Demas, his love. Demas loving. And then finally, I close with this: Demas living. Notice what the Bible says here. He loved this present world and he departed unto Thessalonica. We don't really know why Demas went to Thessalonica. It could have been, maybe it was his hometown. I don't know. Perhaps he had a job there. I know there was a lot of Christians at Thessalonica during this time, and maybe he didn't quit church altogether. Maybe he wanted to go just blend in. Maybe he wanted to get out from under the persecution that Paul was under, and he forsook Paul. Don't really know why Demas left, but we do know this, that his life went on beyond these verses. So it leaves a question mark tonight. What happened to Demas? Did he ever get right with God? Did he ever repent over leaving the great apostle Paul? Did he ever regret it? Did he ever do anything else for God? Or did he just fade off into the scene, never to be remembered no more? He walks off the pages of the scriptures tonight being known as a deserter. Oh, listen to me. I want to be faithful to the end, don't you? Success in serving God is not accolades or accomplishments, recognitions or titles or trophies. I'm going to tell you what real success in the ministry tonight for all of us is. It's just being faithful to the very end. I'm telling you tonight, to raise a family in an old-fashioned church and to teach your children how to serve God and to be a faithful dad, a faithful mom, a faithful worker, a faithful tither, a faithful Sunday school goer, to be faithful in the choir, to be faithful to whatever is going on inside the church, to be an example in your neighborhood, to be an example in your community, to be someone that your children can always look at and see, to never waver in those things in life. That's real success tonight. That's what success is. Is to be faithful. You don't know if the Lord hadn't come back in another 10 years, you don't know who's going to be sitting in these pews or who will be standing in this pulpit. But I tell you what I want to do tonight. By the grace of God, I don't want to be a deserter. I tell you, I want to be faithful. In the same chapter where it said that he hath forsaken me, he departed. Paul had a different goal in mind. Paul was a man who could hold his head up in the end. And Paul said, I've not been everything, but I've been faithful. And I fought a good fight. I'll tell you, I thank God for the people in this church that's been faithful down through the years, don't you? And tonight we must pick up that torch. We must continue on for the glory of God. Let's